Shalom and welcome, one and all, to the Free Community Church online Sunday service. We are thankful and praise God for this opportunity where we can gather virtually to worship our Lord together. During the song and praise segment of the worship, as we sing and praise God, should you be experiencing poor quality of video recording, please visit aka.ms/FCC Live Worship. To access the worship segment in high definition. Please remember to come back here after the praise segment so that you can join us again for the rest of our Sunday service, where we will be having prayers, a timely sermon on forgiveness, and Holy Communion. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds as we begin with the call to worship. Today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Let us be glad in this day, for life, for breath, and for freedom to worship.
Blessed are you who come in the name of the Lord.
We come to bring our gifts of praise and gratitude to the God of creation.
Trust in the Lord at all times, O people. God is a refuge for us.
God is our rock and our salvation. We shall not be shaken.
God is good, and in God's work we find our strength.
We sing of all God's wonderful works. Let us give thanks and praise to the Lord.
You dwell in the songs that we are singing, rising to the heavens, rising to your heart, all praises filling up the spaces in between our frailty and everything you are, you are. The keeper of my heart, you are the keeper of my heart. And I am restless, I'm restless, till I rest in you, till I rest in you.
I'm restless,
lost without you. What a rest. I'm lost without you. We want a rest. We want a rest in you. I'm not for you. We want a rest. This morning we want a rest in you. I'm not for you. We want a rest in you. Rest in you. Rest in you. You are. You are. You are. You are. This is the thank you.
Wider than the skies, no Desperate for you, I surrender.
Mercy and grace on.
sevenfold, I hunger and thirst. I hunger and thirst. With arms stretched wide, I know you hear my cry. Speak to me now. Speak to me now. I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you more.
Drench my soul.
Drench my soul as mercy and grace unfold. I hunger and thirst. I hunger and thirst. With arms stretched wide, I know you hear my cry. Speak to me now. Speak to me now. I surrender.
Lord, have your way.
Lord, have your way in me. I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you more.
One more time.
I surrender. I surrender. I want to know you more. I want to know you
As we enter into the second half of 2020, how many of you wondered where has all the time gone to? Two Sundays ago, FCC had its mid-year members meeting to give an update on what has passed and now have a survey out to gather feedback on what we did well and where we need to improve. If we are working, some of our companies will have mid-year work performance review. I wonder how many of us do this for our own lives. Not reviewing just in terms of our material achievements and failures, but also where we are in our relationships, in our mental, emotional, and spiritual health, so that we may take stock of where we are and not look back at the end of the year and ask ourselves, where has all the time gone? So as we enter into this prayer segment, I'll give each of us a couple of minutes in the beginning to quieten our hearts, to think about where we are in God, in life, and then I will close. Let us pray and lift up our innermost prayers to God now. God, we thank you for bringing us through the first half of 2020, no matter where we are. In life, we experience joy, sadness, anger, peace, betrayal, fear, hopelessness, or sometimes even numbness. These are emotions that each of us will feel, but we know that these feelings do not define us. We anchor ourselves in you, O God, as your creation, as your beloved. We embrace all that you have given us, both good and bad, and pray that we may learn to trust in you through the ups and downs in our lives. God, we continue to lift up those among us that may currently be down in their lives, whether be it in their jobs or studies, or in their health or relationships. We pray for your presence to be felt by them through the people around them. In this time of uncertainties, May we continue to look towards you for wisdom, for guidance, for strength, and for peace, that we may be in you to do your work as you have asked of us. We pray all this in Jesus' most precious name. Amen.
Thank you, Jamie. Hello, my name is Jörg, and 32 years ago, in 1988, I was a student in South Africa on a scholarship. And South Africa at the time was under a system called apartheid. It was the final 2 years before 1990, Nelson Mandela was released from prison. And this system was segregating in a very cruel way all the different ethnic groups of the country. Now, where I studied at Durban, it wasn't so obvious. My university was mixed and open, which was one of my conditions for accepting the scholarship. But I remember that summer, we were driving up all the way to Zimbabwe, to Harare, to visit some friends during our term break. And one of the people in the car was a student, a black student from Zimbabwe, who was studying in Durban, who we were giving a lift home. And as we were passing through a province called Transvaal, we stopped at a petrol station and just to go to the bathroom. So we were kind of on the way to the station, to the bathroom, and then all of a sudden, this friend of ours just kind of turned to the side, and I said, wait a minute, this is the wrong direction. The bathroom is in this direction. And he said, no, that's your bathroom. And I looked up, and on top of the door, it said whites only. So there was another one called blacks only, which was at the back of the station. So that was one small experience with that very brutal system. Now, the system came to an end, as I said, in 1990, when Nelson Mandela was released. And it was followed by elections. And in 1995, the new government, the ANC, took over, and Nelson Mandela became president. Now, they had to face the situation, how to deal with the past. Because obviously, there was a lot of hate, a lot of resentment, a lot of pent-up anger of all those decades of life under apartheid. So they could have just had a big court case and called up everybody from police to army to persecute them. That would have been one option. Happened in Germany after the Second World War, for example. But they decided to go a different route. They decided to put together a commission which would look at what happened during that time. And it would invite those perpetrators from the police, from the military, secret police, whatever. And it would ask them questions, and it would hope for them to be very open and honest about what they've done, and to repent in front of that commission. And the commission was called Truth and Reconciliation Commission, TRC. And basically it was done to kind of restore justice. It was called restorative justice, kind of reparation, rehabilitation. And in a way, it was mainly to do to restore the victims' dignity. And for the perpetrators, if they came forward, if they were honest about what they did, if they showed remorse, there was a good chance that they would get an amnesty rather than throwing the other half of the country in prison. There was a big amnesty. There were some prison sentences, but basically a lot of cases were solved this way. It wasn't just truth, it was also reconciliation. So forgiveness was given, but the condition for it was they needed to be upfront, and they needed to be open, and they needed to be truthful about what happened and what they've done. So talking about forgiveness today, the first point I want to point out, and I'll write them down as I go forward, is forgiveness needs truth. So that's the first of my 5 points that I'm going to make today. Forgiveness needs truth. It's almost impossible to forgive somebody if they're not truthful towards you. And even the Bible says so. In Proverbs 28, it says, "Whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy." So confession and renouncing them, repenting is necessary to achieve forgiveness, to be honest, to be truthful. The Bible, in any case, has a lot to say about forgiveness. Actually, it's so full of stories about forgiveness. It's almost like the book of forgiveness. We could call it that. It starts right at the beginning in Genesis when we look at the story of Joseph and his brothers. You all remember the story. Joseph was probably not such a nice guy. He was the favorite of his dad. He was very kind of better than everybody else. He was a bit yaya papaya, I guess, from what everything that we can read. And so he wasn't the most popular amongst his brothers. What happened is this one day they sold him into a traveling trader into slavery into Egypt. They told the dad, didn't want to tell them what they'd done, so they told the dad he was killed by a wild animal, and they put some blood on his coat and showed it to the dad. And years later, there was a famine in the land where the brothers lived. And it was really bad. It lasted for 2 years, and after 2 years, and it was to last for another five. After 2 years, they said, "We need to go and get food somewhere. Nothing is growing, and you know, what do we do?" So they decided to go to Egypt, because they've heard that Egypt, for some reason — we know it's a dream that Joseph had — for some reason, they had prepared for it. So they had filled all the silos and everything with their rice and their grains and all their food. So they went there, went to the court of the Pharaoh and met their brother, Joseph. But they didn't recognize him because he had done well. He had moved his way up. He was quite clever as far as organization is concerned. In a way, he was the kind of COO of Egypt. And so he was organizing all those things. And they didn't recognize him. And this is where Genesis 45 tells us the story. And then they're in front of him, don't recognize him. And then Joseph says to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt." Now you can imagine the way they felt. It's like, oh my God, you know, he's going to punish us. So he knows that, and he continues saying, "And now do not be distressed, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me here ahead of you. For 2 years now, there has been a famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant of earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt." So he found it in his heart to forgive the brothers, even though they had done a terrible thing, because he saw the bigger picture. Then, if we move on into the New Testament, probably the most famous story about forgiveness is when Jesus was in the temple, and people gather around to hear him preach. And of course, the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, they were trying to trap him somehow. So they bring this woman, and they said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" So they were asking this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. That's in John 8. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger, as if doesn't have a care in the world, as if this is not a serious question, kind of signaling that he knows what's going on. When they kept on questioning him, he finally kind of straightened up and said to them that any one of you who is without sin be the first one to throw a stone at her. And then he stooped down again and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away, one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Because we're all human, we're all sinners. There is no such a thing for us as being without sin. So Jesus straightened the woman up, asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? Then I also won't condemn you. Go away and sin no more." So Jesus forgave her. He kind of passed the test in a very clever way, but also, even though she committed what was seen as a sin against the book of Moses, he forgave her. And this thread of forgiveness continues through the New Testament. Remember that famous scene when he's on the cross in Luke 23, when they came to a place called Skulls or Golgotha. They crucified him there along with the criminals, one to his right, one to his left. Jesus says, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." So even in the most desperate moment, when even Jesus has doubts and says, "Father, why have you forsaken me?" He asks for forgiveness for the people who are doing this to him, who are about to take his life. And it's not just Jesus who finds this magnanimous ability to forgive, even the people who came after him. So in Acts 7, there's a story of Stephen. So Stephen is one of those disciples who speaks up and speaks truth to power. And of course, people don't like to hear that kind of truth. And so after a while, he defends himself. But after a while, they decide to stone him. So in Acts 7, they drag him out of the city and begin to stone him. And while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep, fell unconscious, and subsequently died. So the Bible has a lot to say about forgiveness. And I think if we had to write down a point, our second point is basically, you are forgiven, right? You are forgiven. We are forgiven. Every single one of us is forgiven. We can read it up in John, 1 John 1, where it says, "If we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we were to say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So the second point is, we are forgiven. And when we look at stories, it's not just Bible stories. It's just normal people who actually manage to forgive other people in circumstances that sometimes you think it's almost supernatural to be able to forgive. And if we do a little bit of research, we find many of those stories. One happened here right in Singapore in 2013. I don't know if you remember, in February 2013, there was this case where those two sons, one was doing his NS, and he was giving his brother a lift on the motorbike, and they were hit and killed by a cement truck driver, a Tampines family. I looked at the write-up in the paper, and it says Madame Ang, 38, had just started her shift at the counter of a fast food restaurant in Tampines Mart, not far from the flat where she lives with her husband and two sons, Nigel and Donovan Yap. Picking up her mobile phone, she noticed that there were several missed calls from her husband and a text message in Chinese. It read, "The traffic police called and says there was an accident." So what she does, she rushes to the place where the accident happened, not quite sure what happened. And then she tells us, when they lifted the flap of the tent that the police used to cover the bodies, she says, "I saw there were two of them." I said, "Wa tua." That was my first reaction. And thinking about the two sons, her two sons, she said, they were so close in life. They died together. They now have each other as companions. And she does admit that she was angry at first with the driver when she was trying to cope with the tragedy. But she and Mr. Yap have now chosen to forgive the cement truck driver. She says, "Hating him will not bring our sons back. And we are very certain that he too is suffering from the knowledge of what has happened and from our suffering." In Islamic law, there is this curious case where if somebody does something to your family and kills one of your family members and are sentenced to death, the family of the victim has the final say whether the execution should happen or not. And there's a case of this woman called Alina Judd. She told the Associated Press that retribution has been her only thought after her teenage son was murdered. But in a dramatic turn at the gallows, literally moments before the killer was to be executed, she made a last-minute decision to pardon the man. She's now considered a hero for making that last-minute decision, for forgiving him, even though he had done the unspeakable. Or, after a long shift at the fire department, Matt Swetzel fell asleep while driving and crashed into another vehicle, taking the life of a pregnant mother, June Fitzgerald, and injuring her 19-month-old daughter. According to today's newspaper, Fitzgerald's husband, a full-time pastor, asked for the man's diminished sentence and began meeting with him for coffee and conversation. Many years later, the two men remained close. Fitzgerald told Today, "You forgive as you've been forgiven." Or according to People magazine, teen Jordan Howe took his stepfather's gun to school, of course in the US, and accidentally shot Adi Guzman Jesus's daughter, Lourdes, while showing the firearm to friends. Astonishing the judge and community, Guzman Jesus not only forgave the boy, but also asked for him to get a lighter sentence, telling reporters she believed her daughter would have wanted it that way. Howe will only serve 1 year in juvenile detention and will visit local schools with Guzman Jesus to warn kids of the dangers of guns. According to an excerpt of the book Why Forgive, which is, by the way, a great book, Stephen McDonald was a young police officer in 1986 when he was shot by a teenager in New York's Central Park, an incident that left him paralyzed. "I forgave the shooter because I believe the only thing worse than receiving a bullet in my spine would have been to nurture revenge in my heart," McDonald wrote. While the younger man was serving his prison sentence, McDonald corresponded with him, hoping that one day the two could work together to demonstrate forgiveness and nonviolence. And finally, Mary Johnson lost her son in 1993 after the then teenaged Oshea Israel got into a fight with him at a party and shot him. With so much unanswered, after a long time, Johnson went to see Oshea in jail. After their first contact, and I think this is interesting, she said, I began to feel this movement in my feet. It moved up my legs and it just moved up my body. When I felt it leave me, I instantly knew that all the anger and hatred and animosity I had in my heart for you for 12 years was over. I had totally forgiven you. Two now live as neighbors in the same duplex, and Johnson even referred to Israel as her son in interviews. And Israel said, I admire you for your being brave enough to offer forgiveness and for being brave to take that step. It motivates me to make sure that I stay on the right path. So if we were to take a point, kind of learning point out of that, that would be point number three, is we are to forgive others, right? So point number three is we are to forgive others. But why? First of all, because the Bible tells us so. So in Luke, let me just get my Bible. So in Luke 17, Jesus says, be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times saying, I repent, forgive him. Which is kind of preparing the road for the how many times should we forgive him? And Jesus says seven times 70, which is the symbol for every time, every single time. So why should we forgive others? Because the Bible tells us. But there's more reasons than that. First of all, if we don't forgive, I think it's a kind of burden that we carry with ourselves rather than the other people is carrying it. So Fred Luskin, in the book Forgive for Good, says forgiving others means that we take back power. So the power they've had over us through what they've done to us, we take back power from them by forgiving them. It's also about healing. It's not just their healing, it's our healing. We allow ourselves to heal by forgiving the other person and just stripping off that kind of baggage that we're carrying with us. So in a way, forgiveness is almost more for us than it is for the offender. It helps us to get rid, and we heard this in the stories, it helps us to get rid of all this anger and bitterness and resentment. So we're doing it for us. But sometimes it's good to forgive. Sometimes we need to kind of forgive and walk away to take us out of this toxic environment. So if your friends at another church call you the spawn of Satan, like in Singapore, it's okay to forgive, but walk away, to find a new community. Amistad Maupin, the author of Tales of the City, calls this your logical family, and his autobiography is called that. So you go from your biological family that you're born into, and you find your logical family, the family that feels right, the family that shares your values, the family that accepts you for who you are, no matter what. So we are to forgive others. And I want to write down, forgive and walk away. So that's point number four. Sometimes that may be necessary to find our logical family. But there's one more reason, and maybe the most important reason that we should forgive, or maybe the most important person that we should forgive. And we should forgive ourselves. We know that we are forgiven, and we've heard the Bible verses, many Bible verses that talk about how we are forgiven. But still, despite that, we carry this feeling of guilt. We feel guilty of not fitting in. Somehow we're not fitting in. We feel guilty because we're not fulfilling other people's expectations, our parents, teachers, or maybe our own expectations. Maybe our own expectations that we expect ourselves are so high that it's very, very hard to fulfill them. We feel guilty for being different in many, many different ways. We could be different because of size, sexuality, gender expectations, looks, abilities. There are many ways how we could feel that we're different, we're not fitting into the norm. And often we feel guilty about that. We feel guilty about our faith, about having doubts, having a weak faith. Or we may feel guilty about failed relationships with our parents, with our siblings, with our spouse, friends, colleagues. We may feel guilty about not performing well at school or at work. We may feel guilty about making mistakes in any kind of way. So we carry this guilt with us, and it's something that we really need to let go of. We need to forgive ourselves. We need to forgive ourselves because, number one, we are already forgiven. So we might as well also forgive ourselves. Because Jesus, because the Lord has forgiven us. So why are we still beating ourselves up about something? We need to forgive ourselves because it's a release from worry. We need to forgive ourselves because we deserve it. We're only human. It's okay. We need to forgive ourselves because it's healing. And also it's empowering, because you can't give what you don't have. If your cup is empty, how can you give to the other people? We need to forgive ourselves because it enables growth. Mahatma Gandhi said, "The weak can never forgive. Forgiveness is an attribute of the strong." And it just opens up a whole new avenue for us, whole new world. We should forgive ourselves because mistakes are opportunities to learn. Let's not beat us up about mistakes. Let's not look at them as, oh, we've done something wrong, we're guilty. No, it's an opportunity to learn, to get better. And we need to forgive ourselves for not fulfilling others' expectations. We need to liberate ourselves from those expectations. Maybe we make up our own rules. So the fifth point is, what we need to do, we need to forgive yourself. So basically, the five points that I wanted to stress are forgiveness. Can you see that? Forgiveness needs truth. You are forgiven. Forgive others for your own sake. Forgive and walk away. And forgive yourself. I think that is the most important takeout from our little reflection on forgiveness. Because, to quote a famous drag queen, if you can't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love anybody else? Can I get an amen for that? Amen.
Morning, church. We've come to a time of Holy Communion. So for those who have yet to prepare their elements, kindly take a quick moment to do so, so that we can all partake of the meal together. We gather each Sunday at this table Even though at this time we are not physically together, the table of God's feast transcends time and space because God's love transcends all boundaries. So this table recognizes no boundaries. Here at FCC, we practice an open table. This means you do not have to meet any criteria. You do not have to be a member of FCC. You do not have to be baptized. You only need to recognize that God's grace is sufficient. We are a people, God, called together in your love. We are your children, Mother, called around the table of your word. We are your disciples, Lord, called to praise and give you thanks.
We thank you, good and gracious God, for calling us to be your people, for giving us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hands to touch and bless our world.
Even as your people, God, we are separated from ourselves, each other, and you, the creator of life. Let us confess our brokenness.
As people caught in our tradition, we confess that we have helped perpetuate systems that deny the dignity and sacred worth of all sorts and conditions of persons. We have paid lip service to equality. Our lives are based on discrimination of the other. We have been our own worst enemies. We have failed ourselves, others, and we have failed you, God. Moved by your power, we accuse ourselves because we have not allowed you to form us as a new people. We confess our sin, and we pledge to work for reconciliation with one another.
We thank you, gracious God, for forgiveness and the chance to start again. We thank you, gracious God, for the gift of your Spirit given to us in Jesus, in whom we are freed from the past and its oppression, in whom the gift is complete. Gracious God, you are the Mother of creation and the Father of all life. We are gathered as your people to thank you for your blessings, to receive your mercy and forgiveness, and to remember how Jesus died for us, accepting death to show his love for us and you.
We remember how Jesus came to us, becoming one of us, born like us, of flesh and blood and bone, a fully human person, like us in all things but sin. We remember how, on the night before Jesus died, he gathered with his friends for one last meal, and Jesus loved them then, so he loves us now.
Sisters and brothers, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. The person who aligns with me hungers no more ever. Anyone eating this bread will not die ever. This is my body broken for you. Take, eat, remember me. Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. When you are joined with me and I with you, the harvest is sure to be abundant. I love you as I have been loved. Abide in my love. This is my blood shed for you. Take, drink, remember me.
Jesus, you are always present in our midst. You come to us simply, lovingly, humbly, in words and sacrament, in this bread and wine, and in the love we share with one another.
Let's eat and drink of this bread and wine, remembering Jesus, his teaching, his life, his suffering, his death, and his rising to new life. Gracious and loving God, You have made us one in the body of Christ and nourish us at your table with holy food and drink.
Thank you for feeding our hunger and relieving our thirst. With deep gratitude, we offer you our lives, our love, ourselves, gathered in Jesus by your life-giving Spirit. May we become a new people, wholly pleasing to you, a people giving glory to your name. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, one and all, and welcome home once again to the Free Community Church online service, where FREE stands for First Realize Everyone's Equal. We welcome you regardless of your state status, your gender identity, whatever it is that you are and believe yourself to be, welcome home. We also welcome you to worship with us just as you are, in a safe space. We trust that you have been ministered by the various segments thus far, and know that God is with you always. So thank you, Jörg, for your message of forgiveness and for all who have served in this service right now. We have several announcements to keep us connected, and we encourage you to participate and join us if and you are able and willing to. I have several links during this segment, and if you cannot remember what I will rattle out, please do proceed to the live Q&A where the links will also be displayed. If you are a new friend, help us to know you better and serve you well by filling up our FCC's newcomers form located at aka.ms/FCC welcome. And for those of you who would like to know more about FCC, please do join us after this service for the newcomers meeting, which happens every last Sunday of each month. And today happens to be the last Sunday for the month of July. Should you be interested to know more, please type a message of your interest in the live Q&A chat box, and we will send you a link to meet with us straight after this service. Alternatively, you may wish to register your interest for next month's newcomers meeting by emailing us at info@freecomchurch.org. For those who may be experiencing some challenges and would like to receive some pastoral care, please do reach out to us at info@freecomchurch.org. For us who may require some prayer and have some requests and wish to pray together with others, please also proceed to our post-service prayer room at aka.ms/FCC live prayer. We also have a post-service discussion room for those who would wish to discuss a little bit and participate in the discussion on the sermon and how the sermon have affected you and what are your thoughts. So please feel free to join us at aka.ms/FCC live discussion. Every Wednesday, please do join us for our weekly prayer meeting starting at 8 p.m. by visiting us at bit.ly/FCC prayer meeting 2020. This is a session whereby we come together to pray for one another and for those who have some prayer requests of the people in their lives or the situations. So please do join us for our midweek prayer meeting. This season, we have organized a series of talks called Privileged Conversations. This coming Friday, the 31st of July at 8 p.m., will be our third installment entitled Privilege in Singapore. Should you be interested to join us, please sign up by the 30th of July at info@freecomchurch.org. We hope to see you there. for those who wish to be baptized during our upcoming anniversary service on the 11th of October, we will be organizing a baptism class consisting of two sessions happening on the 10th and 17th of August. You need to sign up for those classes, and please do so by the 31st of July by emailing us at info@freecomchurch.org. Once again, we look forward to welcoming you in joining us for the baptism classes, should you wish to be baptized during our anniversary service. As a progressive church, we will be conducting a church life survey that will help the leaders of this church to plan for the next phase of our services so as to better meet your needs where possible. We appreciate your help in completing this survey at aka.ms/fcc2020h1 as soon as possible. The closing date for completing this church life survey is the 2nd of August. Please help us to do better in our service to you. Your feedback matters. Finally, should you wish to receive updates, information, and reminders about FCC services and programs on a timely basis, please take note that our church has a WhatsApp mobile number, which is +65 9366 3818. Please send us your name via WhatsApp so that we can add you to the broadcast list, and remember to save the mobile number in your contact so that you can receive the information that will be broadcast from time to time. That's it for the announcement. We now have come to the giving segment of our service. We at FCC trust that our services have blessed you in some way or another, and would like to encourage you to share your blessings and contribute to the ongoing operations and maintenance and work of our church, so that we can continue to reach out and bless others in providing a safe space for all to come and know about God, God's grace, and His love, and that we can worship together for the glory of our Lord. You may wish to give towards our general account or our church building fund, or both. We can receive your giving via credit card through Give.Asia's payment processing platform. Click on this link, freecomchurch.give.asia, to give and to find out more. Just input the amount you wish to contribute, and if you wish to support the platform, you may also wish to donate a little to keep the platform running. Please do remember to provide us your name and email so that a receipt may be provided to you. As we value your privacy, you may wish to hide your name from others except the church by clicking your preference on confidentiality towards the end, the bottom of the box. Alternatively, you can also contribute your giving via PayNow as well. You may wish to scan the QR code of the respective icon, depending on whether you wish to, your gift to go towards FCC's general fund or the building fund or both. If you're giving via PayNow, please remember to provide us your email as well so that we can send you the receipt through email. We do appreciate your generosity and contribution. So thank you. To find out more about the ways to give and contribute to FCC, please visit us at freecomchurch.org/give. At this time, I would like to have a prayer of thanksgiving. So please join me in prayer. Dear God, we give thanks and praise you for being with us always. We know that even in this challenging time of COVID-19, you are ever present and gracious, and we thank you for your faithfulness in keeping your covenant with us. We acknowledge the many blessings you have showered upon us, and thank you for the generosity of your people within your kingdom, who have given on this day towards your work of outreach and love. May we, as your stewards, use all that you have given us towards the furtherance of your kingdom here on earth. Bless us all and keep us well and safe. In Jesus Christ's most precious and holy name I pray. Amen. We will now have our last song and benediction by Pauline.
Hallelujah.
And now for the benediction. Dear God, when we struggle to forgive, grant us your grace and strength to forgive as we have been forgiven. So now go. Go as God's forgiven people, God's people who strive to forgive others, knowing that our God of love and shalom goes with you both now and always. Amen. Thank you, everyone, for joining us this glorious Sunday in our worship. We would like to invite you to continue to join us either in the discussion room or prayer room, or for newcomers who would like to learn more about FCC in the newcomers meeting room. We appreciate your presence today and welcome you to join us again every Sunday. Have a blessed day, and we look forward to welcoming you back again next week. Shalom and God bless.